two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Oh, my goodness, we only have 1 hour left till we get you to pregame coverage live in Las Vegas. Hans Olsen, Christian Cox, bringing you that from Mandalay Bay and getting you ready for that Utah game versus USC this evening. So getting you all ready for it. It's going to be awesome. I remember last year how intense this game was for about 10 minutes. I remember, so the game started, same type of thing.
Yeah.
Last year, I think it was a little bit even more of an early start. I think it might have been a 7 o'clock kick.
You might be right, yeah.
Or 7 o'clock here, 6 o'clock Pacific. And I remember driving home. By the time I got home to turn the game on, it was already I think, 14-0. And it was like,
yeah.
Devin Lloyd had that pick six. And you're like, dude, they have picked up right where they left off at the end of this one. But definitely different feelings about this game versus last year, this Utah team versus this year's Utah team, and certainly the opponent, USC, is on the rise compared to where Oregon was last year.
And that's the
year.
Thing. We learned afterwards that Mario Cristobal had his foot out the door for, I don't know, 6 weeks.
Well, their OC was already
going
too,
exactly,
at that point, right?
But that's the thing about it. There's such a different feel this year because this has been a really remarkable turnaround that Lincoln Riley has undertaken here with USC going from 4-8 to 11-1, but the feeling between the two games is night and day different. Because last year we were trying to talk ourselves into, okay, it was just a bad performance when Utah went up there and pummeled them 2 weeks previous to the championship game. No, it was more of the same.
Well, and you felt like Oregon was like, hey, this is all we got right now. This is Anthony Brown is who we have right now. Huh? That's who we are. And it's weird to see him fall off again because I think Bo Nix had such a great season this year for the Ducks. Joining us on the program right now, Pete Futak, College Football News. Pete, thanks for joining the show again, man.
So you guys in Vegas?
No, we are. They're like the only guys at the station
we're
not
the guys
in Vegas.
That were like left behind.
Jeremy was saying, I thought you guys were there too.
Well, no, Scott is there. Scott is there. Normally, Scott, of course, hosts a show with me, but Scott's down there. He's on he does the analyst on the radio gig down there. So yep. He's there. Somebody's got to hold down the fort here back in Salt Lake City. So
I have a friend there who says it's. I mean, it's weird. There's going to be like a Pac-12 championship with like people showing up. I mean,
supposedly a sellout.
How does that work?
Well, not just Utah people too. That's great.
Yeah, that's a one where it's not like the friends and family plan of the Stanford games for a few years there. And yeah, look, I have another friend who's off to see Michigan at Indianapolis tomorrow, and it's different animal, different vibe where. Indianapolis does everything possible to keep you from realizing it kind of sucks there in December, whereas, Vegas is Vegas. So
yes.
There's a reason why the Pac-12 wants to set up headquarters there.
Yeah, and I think, it's become a bigger marquee, bowl game, obviously, now with an SEC Pac-12 matchup, and that stadium just kind of lends to that now. And Utah was in this stadium and won a Pac-12 championship in it last year in the kind of inaugural go inside that stadium to do the championship. So, Pete, your view of this game, because like we were saying as we were bringing you in here, I mean, this is a – even though the record for Utah this year is the exact same as it was last year, it feels like the trend is that USC – and not just because of the line that's on this game, but last year it was like Oregon, you felt like they were a little bit dead in the water before they showed up. Very different story this year.
Well, how Pac-12 would it be that they finally get a shot? They have not only a team that can get there, but with that talent on offense, they got a puncher's chance. I mean, I don't want to say Georgia's beatable, but Michigan's beatable and TCU's beatable. They got a shot at doing something here, and watch it just blow it, you know, with a loss tonight. That was my call from early April. As soon as they locked in Caleb Williams and you saw the all-star team that they were arranging on offense, and you looked at the schedule, no Oregon, no Washington, all the big games at home or in the greater LA area, my call was that they were going to the college football playoff. And now that they're here, if it was Oregon or Washington, I'd just say no chance. It's USC's in, it's all good. But, like, you're right. Utah just sort of has a way, and if it can be Utah, which it hasn't quite been as much as it usually is when it comes to, you know, the run defense and powering away with that ground game, that's it. That's how you do this. But it's all up to Rising. If he can keep he's got to keep the interceptions to a minimum, because that USC defense makes up for a lot of problems with a lot of takeaways.
Now, Pete, I've been following your work forever. I think you were one of my first followers when I got on Twitter over a decade ago. So yeah, you do phenomenal work out there.
And you're the one. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
probably. But you look at the college football universe from a unique perspective in my mind. And the Pac-12 this year has had a really resurgent year overall as a conference. Six teams that are ranked. The quarterback play has been really, really good by and large across the board for those top teams. Is this the type of season, if USC does prevail and get to the college football playoff, that can get the Pac-12 back into the public consciousness nationwide, or are they still going to be the kind of that afterthought that's out there on the West Coast?
Well, they can get them back in the national consciousness, and then you'll lose that team.
Right. Exactly. That's the other issue at hand, yeah.
Well, I mean, not to go off on a tangent here yet, but I am still stunned that the Pac-12 hasn't been more proactive to – you know, just go get San Diego State already. I know it doesn't quite fit in a lot of ways. Go get UNLV just so you have your home base. You know, go expand. Go get Kansas. Like, I don't know why that doesn't work. That fits all the tier one research stuff, and they have basketball, and they have a market. But I digress. But of course, the Pac-12 has been great. It's been fun. You know, it's the late night thing you want to see, where you've got these high flying teams. You've got USC and UCLA good, Washington's good, Oregon's good, Arizona at least was fun offensively. So it has been one of the most fun conferences in college football this year. And it would be great if USC got in. Do we really want? I mean, Ohio State can get in and they can probably win the national championship and all that, but how much fun is it to a new energy and a new vibe? Like, let's say if it's Michigan USC in the Fiesta Bowl, which would probably be Michigan TCU, but if they could figure that out, that would be awesome. I mean, that would just add a whole new element to this thing. Got two new teams into this college football playoff, and a Michigan team that got trucked last year but is jacked up, and a Georgia team you've got four teams, four separate areas of the country. It would just make for a better playoff this year.
One thing that we were asking, I think, earlier off the air, and then I think I asked one of our TV hosts about it. If Caleb Williams was playing for an 11-1 Utah team, would he be the quote-unquote automatic Heisman that so many people have kind of tabbed him with already?
Well, remember what the Heisman is. It's a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And look, the College Football Playoff Committee didn't exactly watch USC until like a week and a half ago. I mean, because either they don't have the Pac-12 network, or it's too late for them. And I'm actually not joking, because you can kind of tell in the rankings that compared to what they did, they were kind of going off stats. But what happens with this is all of a sudden everything builds, and then do you have the big moment on the big stage? Why did Bryce Young win last year? He had that moment against Auburn to pull that game out of the fire, and then he threw for, what, 424 in the SEC championship, and there it was. There's your Heisman. So when everyone's watching, did you get the job done? So, you know, Max Duggan's been brilliant. He has brought that team back game after game for TCU, but I have to explain that he plays for TCU. So it just depends on, do you do it when everyone's watching in the biggest of the big games? And he is just that good. So it's over tonight. Like, what stinks about this, and it stinks we don't have the expanded college football playoff yet, is we know it's going to happen after tonight. I mean, you can go Christmas shopping tomorrow, basically, because if USC wins tonight,
yes,
we got our four. And if Caleb Williams is just okay, win or loss, the Heisman race is over. So basically everyone gets up to watch the U.S. soccer team tomorrow, and then that's your championship Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because then we also got this gift this week of, you know, we've had little tidbits, right, of just little crumbs of feeling like the college football playoff expansion was won, starting to become a little bit more real. It was just about when, you know, they would be able to figure out the timing of when they'd be able to start it up. And the Rose Bowl was dragging its feet about how they were going to try to figure this thing out. So for the next 2 years, they're going to or for the 24 and 25 seasons, they're going to kind of play ball and be play nice about when they're going to hold that game and what time and all that. So now we have the college football playoff rankings making a very different difference in college football. How has the landscape changed now? Or is it still just going to be the big dogs getting a bunch more teams into this 12-team playoff versus
it's
just, you know?
Going to be.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's just going to be boring again, I guess. It's some version of that.
It's going to be so much more entertaining, at least until the very end. Remember, first of all, the college football playoff has stunk over the last few years. We were really, really spoiled by the Deshaun Watson Alabama games early on, and the Baker Mayfield Georgia Rose Bowl game. I mean, there were some classics early, but man, I mean, last year's national championship was fine, but it was just sort of badly played, but it was okay. But everything else has just been blowout. Every semifinal seems to be a blowout or ugly. It just ugh. So it can't be really worse when you have the four superstar teams in a year playing in it. But think about what we've got. I mean, first of all, it's going to be harder than you think to get in. It's not going to be like the NCAA basketball tournament. It's not going to be like, look, 67% of the NBA teams get in right now with the play-in system. You know, half the NHL teams get in. I think it's 44% of the NFL teams, 20% of college basketball get in. You're still only talking about 9%. Of the college football teams will make the playoff. And it's going to be hard. You have to be in the top 11, and when you have six conference champions in, that means there's only six spots available. That's not a lot to get in. So think about how this weekend would be. Like right now, like I'm not joking. Tomorrow, you don't really need to watch if USC wins tonight. We know who the four teams are. But if you were talking about an expanded college football playoff, you're talking about Purdue playing for not just a shot to get into the playoff, but a bye. You're talking about North Carolina probably getting into the playoff, or else Clemson, you know, with a shot to get in. You know, Kansas State is playing for a spot in the playoff. You know, Tulane, as crazy as this sounds, would be playing for a bye if everything blows up. It would just, you would include so many more fan bases. It's going to make the Saturday like one of the top 5 days on the sports calendar. It just is going to, I get the traditionalist side of this. It's who I am. I'm a college football purist in a lot of ways. It's just going to make the sport a lot more interesting for a lot more fans.
Now, Pete, there's been a lot of talk about the Rose Bowl and they're supposed to holding up the expansion of the playoff. Give me your thought on were they being obstinate? Were they trying to, we're the Rose Bowl, we do our thing, and you guys kowtow to us? Like, where do you stand on all that?
I'm kind of on their side. I mean, they are the Rose Bowl. You do kowtow to them because it's the freaking Rose Bowl. And I know the Ohio States of the world are like, oh, I don't want to go back to the Pasadena. We don't want to do that. Like, I get that some of these programs are like think it's bored. They're going to be more excited to go, I don't know, to the Orange Bowl in Miami. I mean, it's the one game everybody watches. It's the one game your grandma watches on New Year's Day. Like, it's the second biggest football game of the year next to the national championship or whatever the big rivalry game might be. It's just the one it's tradition. It's what everyone watches. So I get it. You're the Rose Bowl. Keep that tradition alive. Keep it going and make it a function of the system. And just remember, the people who are doing this college football playoff stuff, they are all bowl people. And so the reason why we have a playoff to begin with is that all they did was tweak the BCS, which all they did was tweak the bowl system to add one extra game. They just redesignated some of the games and called them playoff games instead of bowl games. And they're just going to do the same going forward, except with one round of playoffs that don't really affect the bowls. But they had to do something, because look what this bowl season is going to be awful, because look at all the quarterbacks that are transferring. You know, look at all the coaches that are gone. Everyone's going to opt out. You know, these teams are going to be shells of their normal selves because they're still exhibition games. The expanded college football playoff will kind of remedy that a little bit, because those big teams will have more real games that they're going to have to play.
But will it also alter a little bit of what the will it kind of stabilize the transfer portal at all, where it's like, hey man, we got to the college football playoff, you know, 4 out of the last 9 years. And we're Kansas State, man, or to be able to keep guys there, to be able to kind of incentivize these guys to say, hey, you too have a shot at a national title, sort of.
What we don't know yet is just how much of a role the NIL side of things is playing into this, where if a guy's going in, I'm entering the transfer portal, I'm putting my name out there. Well, are you putting your name out there, or do you already have a spot? You know, did your agent or representative or whoever you're talking to, did they already figure out that you have, you know, a car dealership ad, you know, if you go to XYZ state or something? Like, so we don't quite know just how open this market is and how much the money is going to talk. But to the other point, to your point, is that look what going forward, maybe some of these deals are like, hey, look, we'll give you this deal, and if you get in a bowl game, you know, you get X, you know, $25,000 extra dollars if you play in this bowl game and, you know, hold up the sports drink or something for us. I mean, there's going to be a whole slew of ways that this goes forward that it can actually make the thing better.
Pete Futak, you can always follow him, and we love to. College Football News is where you can find that byline, and he does a fantastic job. Pete, this is it's always fun to talk, especially on a championship game day. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, man. Thanks for being with us.
Good luck tonight. It's actually going to make my life a whole lot easier if USC wins, but hey, go ahead, Utah. Knock it out. It makes this thing
hey,
easier.
Go ahead. You do you, Utah. Thanks, Pete. We appreciate it. I mean, you know what's fascinating about all this, Jake, is that I wonder, the cynic in me, on the one side I go, yes, we're just going to have more football games. Mm-hmm. At the very least, the face value of this, more football games.
More football games is a net positive for everybody.
Yes, and games with little numbers next to both teams, uh-huh. Right?
And that's okay, let's talk about this for just a minute. 12-team playoff, the 5 through 12 seeds, that first round of this expanded playoff are going to be on in home stadiums. Alex, we could have Utah and ostensibly BYU in mid to late December.
Right now.
Hosting, let's just say, a Tulane type team in Lavelle Edwards Stadium or Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Well, this year, like, if the rankings, when you shake them out right now, yeah. Utah would be playing in Tuscaloosa.
They'd be playing Alabama, yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. And think about this.
Which, that's a game that's never been played, right? I mean, like, against each other, yes, but they're in Tuscaloosa.
In Tuscaloosa. The storylines would write themselves.
When Alabama, you can't, there's no version of, yeah, we didn't really want to play in that game, right? Like, you had the first time around that they could always kind of say, oh, well, we were actually playing in that game. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
This is on your home turf.
It's on your home turf. Yep. And the real problem, though, about this setup is that the quote-unquote upset will happen in a national championship is going to be number 6 Alabama winning the college football playoff, yeah. The national championship. Because everybody's going to look and they go, hey, Alabama gets in at 10-2. As a 6 seed, which, you know what that means? It wasn't even close. They get in easy to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And Greg Sankey is licking his chops going, this is amazing. Well, as the commissioner of the SEC, yes, man.
Did you
we
see
just
the
get as many guys we want.
That Sankey said about like how many teams could advance in the college football
playoff? 5 or 6 or something like that?
He said 7.
Oh, yeah. he said 7 because...
just have
because
fun.
You know what you have to do? You have to ask for it. You just have to put it out there.
Yeah.
You start negotiating a little bit with everybody. You say, hey, that's what we're trying to get to. Seven teams.
Mm-hmm. We're the SEC.
Come wild.
On. We deserve the
I love it.
The and lion's share.
Here's the problem is that and every year you hope there's going to be a Tulane type team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hope there's going to be because that's what it would be. The Green Wave would be playing the first round somewhere weird. It was going to be, at Ohio State mm-hmm. in Columbus.
Yeah.
And you know what? There are going to be some years that 12 seed beats that 5 seed.
And that's the part that we're all waiting for. We think about it this, and I think Pete nailed it. The early part of this 12-team playoff is going to be kind of like the NCAA tournament. You're going to have an upset or two, ideally, every year. But in the end, like it typically does with the NCAA tournament, the cream rises to the top eventually, Alex. You lose some of the big dogs in that race to the top, but eventually the talent does emerge and that team rightfully wins a title. That's the fun part about what they're going to be doing with an expanded playoff here in just a couple of years.
Here's the thing I want, though. Here's the concession that needs to happen.
Okay.
You need to bag a third of these bowl games.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Why not?
Because there's lots of money invested in lots of TV windows during the holidays that ESPN needs
to fill. But see, some of those are going to be filled by these extra games.
Absolutely, yeah.
However many games that there are
uh-huh.
that we get added with the college football playoff, take that many bowl games away.
Well, and that's the thing, because Buffalo won a game today against Akron 23-22 to get to bowl eligibility.
Hey, everybody. If you had Hot Maction talk going on Unrivaled today, you got it.
But that's the thing. So they were they're now the 81st bowl eligible team of 82 slots, Alex. There's going to be a 5-7 team, ostensibly Rice. Yes, the Owls are going bowling at 5-7 based on what it looks like. So your point is very well taken. Because if you're going to continue to keep the number of bowl games you currently have right now when that playoff comes into effect, are we going to go down to 4-8 teams potentially playing in bowl games? That seems like a loser's bet.
I just don't want the same old.
We don't. Yeah.
And I also don't want because you put it on TV doesn't mean it's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the opportunistic, like, hey, December 18th on a Saturday afternoon, people are going to turn on the Idaho Potato Bowl because there's no other college football game on and they got used to watching them all year long. That's their model.
Yeah.
That is true. Their model, Jake.
It's true.
And it's not a good model.
No.
What it is it's just opportunistic. It's just, hey, we're here.
We're
and you know
on
what you
TV,
do?
Yeah.
Offer those same bowl games, those same sponsors. You take off those bottoms. You take out those bottom seven teams or the bottom eight teams or whatever it is.
Sure.
You get rid of those and you say, hey, listen, you're going to be able to buy because you could make that first round game of Tulane versus Ohio State. It's at the Horseshoe. Call it this X bowl game. Call it this whatever this bowl game is that lost. You can't call it the Motor City Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, I guess, but
you can
the
call
Citrus
it
Bowl.
Insert sponsor name
yes.
bowl game here. Yeah.
We already have all these stupid bowl games with their dumb.
The TaxSlayer.com Bowls.
The Tiger Bowl. Although that one's pretty cool.
The Cheez It Bowl. Come on.
I told you, I have a love for the Cheez It Bowl.
Did you see the,
yes,
the
I did.
Room that they're going to put those players
yes, I did.
Up in?
And you know what? Good for them. Take that rug home. You deserved it. That's some NIL money used right there.
That's the way to do it.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, we've got some sound from Devin Kaufusi earlier in the week. We asked him just a little chunk of the interview we had with him on the Players Club. I want to get into a little of what this game is versus last year's game in the Pac-12 Championship. How much of an advantage is it that they were already there in this building in the same exact situation last year? And also what this USC team is going to do different against them in this one as well. More to go right here. It's Unrivaled as the Utes and USC get ready to face off against one another. We've also got a Jazz game tonight. The Pacers are in town. So Indiana Pacers in town. The Jazz trying to make sure that they could try to win as many of these next four games in a row possible because they're all going to be at home. Try to take advantage. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.